Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the James McDonald Podcast, where we say love to live to love. That's our focus, that's our passion, and we invite you to let God's Word have that impact in your life right now. Here's Pastor James.
I can't say confidently that this is the end of the series on the Holy Spirit. It might be. But I want to begin by emphasizing something. In a moment, we're going to sing our prayer before we dig more deeply into God's Word. If you want to kind of get yourself at maybe John 15 and then Romans 8, those are two places where we're going to really kind of start and then anchor this message, Evidences of the Holy Spirit. And let me say what I wish didn't need emphasis, but it does. The Holy Spirit is God. As the Father is to creation, as the Son is to salvation. I mean, think of creation without God the Father. What is there to talk about? Think of salvation without Jesus Christ. There really wouldn't be anything to say, would there? As the Father is to creation, as the Son is to salvation, so the Holy Spirit is to the Christian life. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and say that I understand the Trinity. I'll just say that I see the Trinity in the Bible. For example, while Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one," yet there was a Jesus at his baptism in the water and the voice from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," and the Holy Spirit descending in the form of a dove. I can't explain all of this. How God eternally exists, three in one. Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." I think sometimes when you get to these mysterious things, I always kind of quote to myself Deuteronomy 29:29, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which have been revealed belong to us and to our children forever." Never ever say, "My mind is too big for God." Always instead say, "God is too big for my little mind." Sometimes we just have to bow and worship. And having said that, I reiterate again that the Holy Spirit is God. Just some biblical evidence for that. He has the names of God. 1 Corinthians 6:11, he's called the Spirit of our God. Acts 16:7, he's called the Spirit of Jesus. Romans chapter 8, he's called the Spirit of adoption. So he bears the names of God. Additionally, the Holy Spirit has the attributes of God. Let's just go with some big ones. The Holy Spirit is omniscient, which means he knows everything. 1 Corinthians 2:11, "No man knows the things of God but the Spirit." He's also omnipresent, which means he's everywhere. In Psalm 139:7, David said, "Where can I go from your Spirit? If I go into the heavens, you're there. If I go into the lower parts of the earth, you're there." He has also all power, omnipotence in Job 33:4. Job says, "The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty has given me shape." Now, not only is he God, but he is personal. He is personal. We must never accept the false teaching that the Holy Spirit is just a force or an influence from God the Father. The Monarchians and the Arians in the early church taught that the Holy Spirit was just the energy of God or the force of God and not a person. The Socinians at the time of the Reformation taught that the Holy Spirit was not a person, that he was not a third part of the triune Godhead. In the past century, the Unitarians and most neo-Orthodox theologians deny the distinct personality and personhood of the Holy Spirit. In this century, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, as well as most liberal denominations, reject the personhood of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, this matter is easily cleared up if you study the Scriptures. Listen here, 1 Corinthians 2:10, the Holy Spirit has intellect, the capacity to know. That's a characteristic of personhood, knowing. The Holy Spirit has emotions. We're going to talk in a minute about Ephesians 4:30, which says that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. That's a feeling. He has intellect. He has emotions. Additionally, 1 Corinthians 12:11 says that the Holy Spirit chooses which gifts to give each believer as he wills. And so the Holy Spirit has intellect and emotion and will. These are the characteristics of personhood. The Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God. Now, as God the Father is in creation and God the Son in salvation, God the Holy Spirit is to the Christian life. Us today living for God here now. So the Holy Spirit also makes the Word of God come alive to us and applies it to our heart with force. So come and lead us in a prayer to the Holy Spirit, inviting Him to come and speak to us through God's Word. Come on, let's all sing as we pray together.
Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear your voice. We're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we want to love you more and more. We're hanging on every word. Just when you speak and when you move, when you do it, only you can do. It changes us, it changes what we see and what
Amen. Well, let's turn our attention now to the Word of God, which is brought to our hearts with force and with influence by the Holy Spirit of God. We're going to get to the evidences in just a minute, but I want to draw something that I've been trying to say and say and say and say, and they say that an effective teacher repeats. So let's judge the effectiveness by your familiarity with this. I'm going to say that this is representative of the Holy Spirit of God, and this is you. What do you think? Okay? And all that God has for me, all the strength that God has for me, all the wisdom God has for me, all the discernment God has for me, all of the patience and kindness and Christian character and fruit of the Spirit God has for me, all that God has for me comes through the Holy Spirit. There is no Christian life per se. There is just the life of Christ in you and me. If you've turned from your sin and embraced Jesus Christ by faith, you get all of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body. Now, there's a lot of references coming your way already and to come in this service, so I'm going to put all the references from this whole message up on our website where the message is posted this week. But let me just say that everything, say everything, everything that God has for me comes to me through the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, bringing it to bear upon my life, living His life, the life of Christ through me. The Christian life is Christ in you. That's the Christian life. Our ladies' conference coming up, Romans chapter 5, verse 10. If then being reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more now we are being saved by His life. That the going from conversion to glory is the going along with the Holy Spirit in me. Now, why is it that so many Christians are not filled with joy? Why is it that so many believers are filled with fear and anxiety and uncertainty? It's because we are blocking the ministry of the Holy Spirit to our lives. And two things are doing that. Number one, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, do not grieve. Chapter 4, verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The word grieve, lupeo, is a term that means literally soul pain or soul anguish. And because the Holy Spirit is a person, he is God, sometimes we do things that he doesn't want us to do, and thereby we grieve the Holy Spirit. The other thing that we do is we quench the Holy Spirit, which is talked about in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, which says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Now, there's things the Spirit wants us to do, and when we don't do it, we quench the Spirit, and we lose all that he has for us. And there's things that he doesn't want us to do that we are doing, and when we do them, we grieve the Holy Spirit, all right? And as a result, we lose the ministry. Everything that is promised to us in Christ is forfeited when we forfeit the filling, controlling, thoroughly permeating ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's why Ephesians 5:18 says, be being filled with the Spirit. And when I grieve the Spirit or quench the Spirit, I've got to confess that sin and forsake it and pray again and ask the Holy Spirit to fill and take control of my life afresh. That sometimes is a minute by minute, hour by hour, certainly day by day, praying. And when I'm living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, I don't have to go to these two emphases. This has been the big thing in this series. I don't have to go to the, God forbid, the degrading of the Holy Spirit, which is such a huge negation. So many are degrading, negating the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'd be super careful there. One of the strictest warnings in the New Testament is not to denounce or diminish the work of the Holy Spirit. So if you're one of those people, ease up, cowboy. Be very, very careful when you denigrate or deny the ministry of the Holy Spirit. However, God's word is our guide, and I would say of equal or at times greater concern is what I would call the affectation of the Holy Spirit. And while these can be grieving the Holy Spirit because they deny what he's doing and refuse what he's doing, quenching the Holy Spirit because he wants to do things and they won't let him do that, now, these can be grieving the Holy Spirit because they're creating things, making up things, emotionalism, going far beyond what the Scripture says. The Bible says that a wicked generation seeks after a sign, and when we're off asking the Holy Spirit to do all kinds of things that he's not doing, that grieves the Holy Spirit. Now, we've been trying to center our thoughts on what actually is the Holy Spirit doing so that we don't fall into either of these extremes, but we can live in expectation. That brings me just briefly to John 15, and then we're going to conclude this part of our Holy Spirit teaching on the evidences of the Holy Spirit. So let's review a little bit where we've been. Comfort, how's that going? Whom the Holy Spirit fills, he comforts and ministers to. And it's God's design that on a regular basis, as difficult things happen, I get bad test results, I find myself standing far too early in front of a casket weeping, and I never thought for a moment that that was coming to my life in any way. And these are not the things that I had diagrammed for my life, but because the Holy Spirit is ministering to me and bringing me comfort in these times, I can go forward. I can go on. God doesn't leave me alone. Jesus said, I will not leave you alone. I will come to you. Jesus said, it is to your advantage that I go away. I will come to you. This is the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. In fact, he is so essential for the Christian life that Jesus said to the disciples, get in the upper room and stay there and wait. And you will receive power, Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Only then will you be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so they couldn't even past go. They couldn't even collect $200. Just get in the upper room and wait. Don't do anything, because you can't do anything as a Christ follower without the Holy Spirit. Are you knowing his comfort and then his discernment? People say that life is about choices. So much of where we are today is because of the choices we've made, and how many choices would we make differently, and how many choices were made in the flesh because we weren't filled with the Holy Spirit and we didn't have his wisdom and discernment. And then the focus on Jesus. I got to say, something really special is happening in our church, and I am actually overdue to be in Elgin this weekend. I am here because I didn't get here last weekend because my wife Kathy, who's now finally, thank you for your prayers, finally feeling better, but I've just never seen my wife sick for 2 or 3 days. She's been sick for almost 10 days now. This morning she's out going around visiting some campuses in regard to our women's event coming up. But I didn't get to Elgin last week, but I can just say that where I have been in the last couple of weeks, the worship is just stratospheric. I leaned over to a friend of mine last night and I said, you know this isn't normal, right? And the passion that you exhibit and the delight that you show in worshiping Jesus Christ. Not one or two people in a part of the auditorium. I mean, filling the room on every campus. Listen, loved ones, this passion for Jesus that's growing in us, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? That's what he wants. That's what he wants. It pleases the Father that in him, Jesus Christ, all the fullness should dwell. And the Holy Spirit has said, it says that he will not testify of himself, but he will speak of Jesus Christ. And so how awesome. Focus on Jesus. I really want to preach on all these again, but see, you already did this. Keep going. You're going to run out of time. Okay. Thank you for that help. Conviction of need. We talked about that extensively last week, how the Holy Spirit convicts us. He convicts us. And let me just give you one example. Keep your finger in John 15 and look really quickly at the last chapter in the Bible, or second last, Revelation 21:8. I've preached on this many times. It talks about all the wonderful things that are going to happen in heaven. Revelation 21:4 says that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there'll be no more death, no more pain or crying. Man, I can't wait for heaven. But then you get to verse 8, and it says this. It says that everyone isn't going to heaven. And some people who are listening to me right now, if you were to die today, you would not go to heaven. Revelation 21:8, but as for the cowardly, that means people who try to avoid the truth about God, the truth about themselves, the truth about eternity. They're running from the truth. The faithless, they, I don't want to believe. I don't want this to be true. The detestable, that's a manner of living. Murderers, Jesus said, if you hate in your heart, you're a murderer. Sexually immoral, it's pretty straightforward. Sorcerers, those who seek their direction for life from some source other than from God and his word. Idolaters, anything in my life more important than God. My job, my career, my family, my self, any unbroken pattern in these sins. We're the people that are guilty of these things. Someone say amen. Amen. But the pattern has to be broken. I don't live these things perfectly, but I live them increasingly. And if that pattern isn't broken in your life by Jesus Christ, well, see where it goes. Idolaters and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Now, some people hear that, and the truth of the matter is they hear that, and they're just like, but other people hear the same thing, and they're like, and that is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is convicting us of sin and righteousness. Sin, my errors. Righteousness, God's standard. Judgment, the fact that I'm going to account for all this someday. Some of you like, that is as serious gets. And other people are like, what time is it? Where are we going for lunch? And I know that I said it in a funny way, so some of you chuckle. But in the same breath, you know it's not funny at all. And your eternity hangs in the balance. And you should be praying if these things cause you to feel indifferent. You should be praying, God, Holy Spirit of God, come and bring to me conviction like other people have, or I'm going to be lost for eternity. Conviction of need, this is an evidence of the Holy Spirit. This is the big stuff, all right? Not the shows, not the hurrah, hurrah, not the craziness. This is the meat. This is the big stuff. And then the fruit of godly character. Galatians 5 says that walk in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And these things are to be increasing. One of the great things about pastoring the same church for this long is you get to see the people around you growing. And as I'm fond of saying, I'm not who I could be, I'm not who I should be, but I'm not who I was. And to see God growing us and changing us and stretching us and tenderizing us, I hope that's happening to you. I can testify that it's happening to me. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Then this, telling others about Jesus. That's why I had you turn to John 15. John 15, 26, when the helper, the advocate, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, the Parakletos, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. See, look at that Trinity there. I will send to you from the Father, there it is. He will bear witness about me. And you also, there it is, you also, turn to your neighbor and say, you also. Come on, say it again. Tell him, who's going to do this? You also will bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning. So here Jesus is testifying that one of the evidences of the Holy Spirit is that the people who have the Holy Spirit, the people who know Jesus personally, want to tell others about him. How's that going? If you are indifferent to the spiritual condition of others, if you're not burdened for the people at work and in your neighborhood and in your family that don't know Jesus, if you don't care, don't pray, don't speak, that's a problem because the Holy Spirit is stirring that all up within people. Now, if as I'm saying that, you recognize that you're deficient in that, you feel this, and the Holy Spirit convicts you. But if, in fact, the Holy Spirit's not in you, you still feel this. And church must be such a drag for you. I'm so sorry. Earlier this month, Earlier last month, I was in the lobby here, and someone came up to me, and we were chatting. And because it was the obvious moment, I said, are you trusting Christ personally for salvation? And they said, I want to. Ding, 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 ding. I can help. And right there, that person prayed and gave their life to Christ. And I get some regular opportunity to do that as I circulate about. I see a lot of results here, but having opportunity there and having opportunity in some other kind of secret places where my wife and I do ministry, not related to our church, these are some of our greatest joys, to tell people about Christ and what he can do for them. Then this, evidence number 7. Are you ready to go over to Romans 8 now? Romans 8. The rest of the message is in Romans 8. So if you were in John 15, just turn right. John, Acts, Romans. Man, that was close. Romans, I'll try to conserve energy for you. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, I'm going to drop down through these verses because I want to show you about life in the Spirit again, okay? The Christian life, in life in the Spirit, this is the same thing. Ready? Romans 8, 1. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. May I love you, love you. May I have a response, just even, hang on, just even mildly appropriate to that verse? Here comes your second chance. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I mean, that's pretty awesome, right? I understand. It's not always obvious when you should shout and cheer in church. I don't mind giving you a little prompting here or there, but I want you to think about this for a minute. Everything you've ever done or thought, everything you regret, everything you'd be ashamed for anyone to know, if you've turned from your sin and embraced Christ by faith for your forgiveness, it's not on the record. It's not on God's mind. It doesn't matter how bad you did this week. It doesn't matter how poor you're going to do next week. We want to do better, and I am doing better. I hope you're doing better. But in Christ, all of our sin is covered, past, present, and future. No condemnation. What does God think about you? No condemnation. That's what he thinks. What does God think about me? No condemnation. That's what he thinks. Come on, preach to your neighbor and say, no condemnation. Tell him. Now, how's it going in your marriage? Because I'm going to tell you something. Nothing tears down a marriage like condemnation. All right? And if you're bringing condemnation to bear upon your partner, now sometimes we've got to give him some encouragement. Sometimes we've got to give him some wisdom, I hope, gently spoken. Sometimes we've got to provoke one another to love and good deeds, amen? But just get that condemnation out of your voice. Get that condemnation out of your voice, because you're not representing God in that moment. You're not speaking for the Holy Spirit in that moment. God is for you. God is for you. Romans chapter 8 later says, if God is for you, who can be against you? Answer, well, my boss is kind of against me. Well, then he's not with God. God is for you. That's just verse 1. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So the Old Testament law was good. Paul talks about this a lot. But it was a bunch of rules. And because of our flesh, he's about to say, we could not keep the law. So the law was good in the sense that it exposed our need for a Savior. Verse 3. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh. If you want to know what flesh is, I've told you this before. So write the word flesh in your notes. And then cross out the letter H. Got it? F-L-E-S-H. Got it? Write it down. Now cross out the letter H. Now spell it from there back to the front of the word. Get it? S-E-L-F. That's flesh. Self. Me. I. Me. My. Mine. Us. We. Ours. What I want. And when I want it. And how much I want. That's self. And how's that been helping? This greedy grabbing for me. Has that ever really worked out great? No. No, and so the Holy Spirit is resisting that. That's what flesh is. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. How am I going to get more? How am I going to get ahead? How am I going to beat them? Set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. I don't want anybody to be in charge of me. I want to do what I want to do. It doesn't submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. That's a really important sentence. Not just doesn't, can't. Why? Because unless the Holy Spirit takes you from this, unless the Holy Spirit takes you from this to this, it's all just a bunch of talk to you. How many people can remember when it was just a bunch of talk to you? Right? And then all of a sudden, that's the Holy Spirit. Now, back to the text. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. It cannot, indeed it cannot, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, here comes the positive, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Or, let's read that in the reverse. Anyone who doesn't have the Spirit doesn't belong to him. Or, anyone who does belong to him does, tell me, have the Spirit. Everyone who is God's child through faith in Jesus has the Holy Spirit, all of the Holy Spirit. God didn't short you. You don't need to beg or plead or stay up all night or wait for some gift someone told you that was proof of a little extra. Not taught anywhere, taught from experience, but not taught anywhere in the sufficient word of God that gives us, 2 Peter 1:3, all things pertaining to life and godliness. Therefore, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now here comes a great verse that kind of just summarizes it all. And let me put this up on the screen. I want to see if we can just, let me read it first. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. I mean, oh my goodness. Come on, lift up your voice. Let's read this together. If who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead Wow. There's the Christian life right there. The Holy Spirit giving life to this mortal body. Every time I love as God would have me love, that's the Holy Spirit of Jesus loving people through me with a capacity I don't have. Every time I have joy in the face of difficult circumstance, that's the Holy Spirit of God expressing the joy of Jesus through my life that is irrespective of any circumstance that would cause people to wonder. Every time I have the peace that passes understanding. Why can't people understand it? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit inside them, giving them peace in the midst of the storm. Only when the Jesus Christ who slept in the middle of the boat during that hurricane, only when his Spirit is controlling and filling me, can I exhibit that same peace through the storms of life. Well, so then, brothers, verse 12, we are debtors, yeah, not to the flesh, like we didn't pay enough there already. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. So how do I defeat these old inclinations, these old desires? How do I do that? By the Spirit. The Christian life is not you trying harder. The Christian life is not, all right, this time I'm serious. I'm not gonna over drink again. I'm not gonna indulge again. I'm not gonna lust again. God helping me, I'm not gonna be a glutton anymore. God helping me, I'm gonna. That's not the Christian life. It's not that. It's leaning into Jesus and getting closer to him. And the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And it's the displacing of those desires by what I lean into, what comes in its place. You can't save yourself. Colossians 2:6. As you receive the Lord, so walk in him. That the Christian life is the whole. He says it right here. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led. Okay, here they come now. Ready for the rest of the evidences? Here they come. Number 7, Holy Spirit leading. The Holy Spirit leading. See it there in Romans 8. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now again, he's saying things in reverse. So you flip that one around in the way that we would say it in English. If all who are being led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, then come on, what would the reverse standard version say? All the sons of God are being led by the Spirit of God. Every blood-bought son or daughter of the living God through faith in Jesus is being led. It's part of our birthright. Notice that you can't see it in some translations, but it's present tense here. Are being led. It's not sporadic, it's constant. and then led by the Spirit. God's agenda, not mine. Not around pain, but through pain. I love 2 Corinthians 3:18 so much. I want to read it to you because there's a little part there that when I quote it, I don't always say this part, and I'm convicted to make sure that I'm quoting the entire verse. 2 Corinthians 3:18, I always say this part, we all with unveiled faces are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord in our daily, one translation says, being transformed into that image. But the text goes on to say, from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The Spirit is the Lord. Three in one. Three in one. The Spirit is the Lord. And when we pray Lord, we are praying to the Spirit who is the Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is leading us most specifically into greater sanctification. Not overpowering us, but prompting us. Do this. Say this. Call her. Now this is where we have to be careful because people will have things come into their mind to do and they'll say that's of the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit would never lead us to do something contrary to the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit would never lead us to do something contrary to the kingdom of God or injurious to the people of God or inconsistent with anything the Scripture says about the church of God. But the Holy Spirit does lead us, and I have many examples of this. A few years ago now, I had this going on. I can't explain it exactly, but for 3 months, I had such a prompting in my time with the Lord. This is strange, but I had such a prompting in my time with the Lord to call my third grade teacher on the phone. And I had not talked to her on the phone for 40 years. And it just seemed strange. I knew that she was a believer. She's the only person I ever remembered talking about the Lord in my public elementary school. And so her name was Mrs. Henderson, and I put it off, and finally I couldn't put it off anymore. And it's nice to know that God was heating that up, because when I got to the day that I couldn't put it off anymore, and I found her phone number, and I called her on the phone, she picked up the phone, and I told her who I was, and she said, "Oh, Jamie, I remember you." Wasn't sure what to think about that. I told her that I was a pastor and that I lived in Chicago, and she began to cry and she said, "Surely the Lord has prompted you to call me today. I've just picked up my coat and I'm on the way out the door to my husband's funeral." And so I got to pray with her, and a few weeks later I got a letter in the mail to think that God would prompt a relationship from so long ago, and I don't have 1,000 stories like that, but I probably have 50 or 100, and I know that some of you have some too, and you could have more. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. This happens all the time in the church when the Lord will just put somebody on my heart to call them, and there's a man that's just started working at our church in Elgin, and a year ago the Lord prompted me to call him. I hardly knew him. He was working at a publishing house, and sometimes when it's not crazy, just someone comes to mind and they're on your mind. I didn't try to think of them. It won't go away, and it seems kind of irrational. There'd be no reason for me to be thinking about them. Sometimes I just trust the Lord, and maybe he's in it, maybe he isn't. It's not wrong to call someone and say, "Hey, love you, praying for you, anything I can do to encourage you." That's not wrong, right? It's not like it's some crazy thing I'm talking about here, and I have faith to believe that the Lord can lead us to care for one another and minister to one another. Don't you? Maybe there's a name the Lord's going to bring to mind just shortly here for you that you might jot down and say. Holy Spirit leading. Then this, Holy Spirit confidence. Holy Spirit confidence, verse 15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear." Some translations say again to fear. That's the old life. God's children aren't supposed to be filled with fear. You have, well, what, a lot of us struggle with fear. What's going to happen to me? Will I be okay? What's supposed to take the place of fear? This. You have received the spirit. You did not receive the small s, spirit of slavery, fear. You received the capital S, I think rightly interpreted, spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And the idea there is confidence. The Holy Spirit places us in God's family. He adopts us, and we know that we belong. I've been teaching in Harvest Christian Academy on Wednesday afternoons, and I'm having a great time. I want to tell you, I am loving it every Wednesday afternoon, all afternoon, and teaching all the high school students the Word of God. And so I've been walking down the hallway a lot lately. Now, hope you won't think that this is weird, but man, those kids are little. You walk down the wrong hallway. I mean, sometimes I feel like Pastor Kurt in the baptistry. these kids are small. And then when they say see me come walking, I guess they probably seen me on a screen or something. I don't know. And they get a little afraid. I was like, hi. And they're like, ooh. They get back and they kind of go in their locker, or they're like it's a little strange. And so this week I was walking down the hallway and I was saying, hey, the kids, and I'm kind of used to it now. And they're like, oh, hi. And they run away and whatever, and it's all good. But all of a sudden I felt like, bam, I just felt this kid on my leg, just bam, right there, and hugging my leg and holding my, and I was like, whoa. And I looked down. It's one of my grandsons. And so this is Monty. And listen to me. It never occurred to him for half a second that I wouldn't be thrilled to see him. He has no other thought other than he's going to see me and he will be so happy. And that is how the Holy Spirit wants us to feel about God the Father. You didn't receive a spirit of bondage again to fear. You received the Holy Spirit by whom we cry out, Abba, which is to say Dada or Papa. It's a term of endearment that says, I know he wants me with him. Now, make a note of this. As God's son or daughter, you should never doubt his love for you or his delight in you. Never. As his child, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how your day's gone, he loves you with an everlasting love. Nothing can separate you from that love. It's not based on your performance, so you can't improve it by doing good. And you didn't earn it by your performance, so you can't lose it in your falling and failing. Get up and run to Abba Father. Don't cower in fear. That's not a ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's leading me. He's giving me confidence. And then this, jot it down. Holy Spirit security / identity. Security, identity. Notice, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Okay? So the Spirit, I gotta tie my shoe. The Spirit, come on, look at your Bible. Don't embarrass me. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Number one question on the hearts of most Christians. Am I really saved? Am I really saved? Is that settled forever? And see, the problem is, as we grieve the Spirit and quench the Spirit, his message to us is, you are mine. In fact, let me get a high school student up here to help me. This is Haley, and she is in our, this is Haley Milholland, and she is in our Bible class. Now, stand right here, love. So the Holy Spirit This is our executive senior pastor's daughter, and she's very dear. And the Holy Spirit is trying to send to us the message, you are mine. You are mine. But the problem is that we grieve and quench the Spirit, and that, in a sense, creates a distance. He doesn't move, but we move. And I'm not sure he's still saying, you're mine, you're mine. But we get further away, and he's saying, you're mine, you're mine. And before we know it, we have grieved and quenched the Spirit for so long that the message that he longs to give us is not being heard in our hearts anymore. And how much is lost as we walk about as orphans in this world when we are children of the King? We are sons and daughters of the living God through faith in Jesus. And nothing can separate us from that, but we live like paupers because we don't have the fullness of God's Spirit in our lives. And not just security, but with it identity. Notice, and if children, then heirs. What? Okay, you can do it. If children, then heirs. And not just heirs, notice, see it? Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. All that is his is mine. All that he has now, I will have someday. He is my, not just my Savior, not just my King, he is my brother. And I am in the family now. I am in the family, and it doesn't matter what you have at your house, it doesn't matter what you have in the bank, it doesn't matter what's parked in your driveway. What matters is that through faith in Jesus, we are incomparably and unimaginably wealthy, and all of eternity will reveal it. That's who we are. And the Holy Spirit wants us to live that identity. Amen. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's who I am. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Live that this week. That's who you are. And then this. And I've preached through this passage before, but I've never been led to emphasize this last evidence, Holy Spirit endurance. Holy Spirit endurance. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Jesus Christ, provided, you understand that provided is a condition, right? Provided is a condition, y'all. So before you get too excited about the heir program, just read the fine print. Provided, if someone says, now you can close on the house on the 30th of the month, provided you show up with the down payment. Don't show up with the down without the down payment, y'all. Provided, everyone say provided.
Provided.
Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him. Now, please write this sentence down to avoid confusion. Suffering does not produce salvation. It proves it. It doesn't produce it. It proves it. This is in the whole book of Hebrews, which we taught through verse by verse in 2007. The whole book of Hebrews is for this. He who endures to the end will be saved. Make your calling and election sure. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. 1 John chapter 2. They went out from us because they were not of us. If they had have been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out from us so that it might be manifested they were not of us. Defection. And obviously, I don't mean from this church. I mean from the faith. Defection is proof of false conversion. Defection is proof of false conversion. Can I say that one in the reverse? Endurance is proof of true salvation. Provided we endure suffering, that we may also be glorified with him. And why are you enduring what you're enduring right now? Because you love Jesus Christ. And why do you keep going? Even when it'd be easier to quit, even when it'd be easier to speak your mind, even when it'd be easier to blow that heartache out of the water, but you won't. And why won't you? Because even though it seems incomprehensible to keep doing this for another month or another year, You know that his mercies are new every morning. You know that he'll give you grace that is sufficient for today. And you love him, so you want to endure with him. That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. We're holding on to Jesus, and he is holding on to us. Someone say amen.
Amen.
So are you lacking evidence? Not filled. Not filled. Do what? Put it up on the screen all at once. Confess all known sin. Pray and ask to be filled. Believe that you are filled. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Lord, I know that grieved you. I should never have said that. Lord, I know that that was wrong. I have no excuse. Please forgive me. Cleanse my heart from unrighteousness like you promise. Holy Spirit, come again and fill my life. I like to hold my hands out when I'm praying this. I promised the Lord in the middle of the night between last night and today. I promised the Lord in the middle of the night I'm going to go back to the discipline again of slipping out of my bed and just first thing on the floor is my knees. I'm going to be doing that this week. I promise you. Do it too. You just kind of roll over on your bed and you slide off the bed. The first thing on the floor is your knees. And you just say, Lord, I confess my sins to you today. I know that I'm not everything that you want me to be, but I can't live this day without you. Holy Spirit of God, come and live your life through me today. Fill me. Ask him. Pray and ask to be filled. And then believe that you are filled. Luke 11:13 says that if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And Mark 11:24 says, whatever you ask in faith, believe that you have received it, and it will be done for you. Now come on, let's all pray. Father, we bow before you now, and we just ask you to forgive our sins, God, the things that we've said and done, that the Holy Spirit was grieved by, the things we've been provoked and prompted and led to do, but we haven't done it. Help us to do it today. And come, Holy Spirit, afresh and fill us. We yield to you. And we ask you to fill us now, and we believe that you have, in Jesus' name, amen.
So I hope that you've been really encouraged today through this clear teaching from God's Word. I just want to thank you from the whole team for listening to the James McDonald Podcast, where the learning is for loving, loving God, and for loving others more and more until we see him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership, and it makes podcasts like these possible. If you're not part of a vibrant, life-giving gospel church, check out this new alternative. It's called the Home Church Network. You can get it at homechurchnetwork.global. All the ministry information, Bible teaching, and resources are there, and also at jamesmcdonaldministries.org. Hey, thank you again for listening.